1 through 8. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May God bless the reading and hearing of this holy word. Herewith the evening Bible study is now doing a series called Wrestling with Angels. Now, one of the first weeks early in the series, Tony Campola was speaking towards the end of the video. And Campola said this: "The older I get, the more aware I am that my life is caught up in the larger scheme of things. And that larger scheme of things is God's plan for the universe. I am part of something larger than myself." Today, God invites you to find yourself as part of something much larger than your own interests, than your own desires, than your own ambitions, than your own dreams, than even your own sense of spiritual fulfillment. Today, God invites you to find yourself located in the drama of God's salvation, of God's plan to unite all things in heaven and on earth in Jesus Christ. For if this story is true, then it is not only unique in its implications for all of human history, but for your life as well. Let us begin by thinking about this first Easter Sunday. There was no sign out front proclaiming Jesus Christ is risen. There were no newspaper articles. CNN was nowhere to be found. There were no people gathered in sanctuaries in their Sunday best, gathered for worship. Instead, they were bewildered, dazed disciples and women who were heartbroken, whose lives had come apart and shattered. Can you begin to imagine what that Sabbath must have been like? For 3 years, the disciples and the women followed Jesus. They left everything behind to follow him. Everything they had known, everything they were familiar with, their hopes, their dreams. They left all for Jesus. After 3 years, who else in heaven and on earth could they have saved Jesus Christ? And what an amazing 3 years that was. And that time they heard Jesus teach, not as their scribes and Pharisees, but as one with authority. There were power in his words. They saw him heal the lame and give sight to the blind and heal many people of their diseases. Why, he even healed Peter's mother-in-law. They saw Jesus providing for the needs of the multitudes. And if you read Mark's Gospel this week, you know that he did it not once, but twice. 4,000 people one time, 5,000 another. Jesus, the bread of heaven, provided for all of their needs in abundance. From just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Jesus, God, he healed, he provided for their needs, he even cast out demons. And isn't it amazing how the demons recognized him as the Son of God? You see, Mark's Gospel begins with this verse, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then throughout the Gospel, Jesus does these amazing things. And his disciples and the women, they see them all. But somehow they just don't get it. But yet they've left everything for Jesus. All for Jesus they have given. And with the pounding of nails into flesh, with the spear from which water and blood flowed from his side, their hopes were shattered. Was it all for naught? The women were there on Golgotha when their Lord was crucified. What they witnessed, surely, seeing the one they loved so dearly suffer so, surely was enough to lead to post-traumatic stress syndrome. Such horror. And where were the disciples? When Jesus was arrested, they fled. Have you ever turned on a light and then seen roaches scamper? Perhaps your house is cleaner than the apartment I lived in when I was a dude. But let me tell you, we had roaches. And there were sometimes at night, you go to the bathroom or go down to the kitchen for a drink, you flip on the light switch and they scatter. Well, when the soldiers came for Jesus, the disciples were like roaches scurrying in fear. So that when Jesus gave up his life, John, who was there with Mary, Jesus' mother, was the only one around. And remember Peter. Well, the suffering of Jesus, Peter kept his distance. He was in the picture, in the story at least. But so afraid was Peter that he denied that he even knew Jesus. So bound was Peter by fear. Think about us today. Do you know what it's like to have your life shattered? With a phone call or a pink slip? With the death of a loved one or a relationship? Surely many of you have known what it's like to see your world crumble right before you by forces that are so far beyond your control that all you can do is weep. If you know what that's like, perhaps you can identify with the disciples and the women on that Sabbath day. And yet, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, made their way to the tomb. As soon as the sun started to rise and the Sabbath ended, they went to anoint Jesus' body, his dead, lifeless body. They went perhaps because they couldn't have anything else to do. What else did they have to do without Jesus? And yet, as they made their way to the tomb, they remembered this huge stone, the size of a man, perhaps weighing up 1,000 pounds. How could 3 women move that? How could 3 anybody's move that? In fact, that stone who saw a young man. He said, "Do not give aid. Do you seek Jesus of Nazareth? Nazareth was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And how did the women respond? Did they throw aside their spices and perfumes and rejoice? No. You see, even in this day, they didn't live in the scientific age, but they knew that what was dead stayed that way. They didn't know what to make of this. This was too much. Perhaps they thought, couldn't they leave Jesus alone? Didn't they do enough to him on Friday? Why must they take his body? They were so overwhelmed with fear, even though the young man said he was risen. And yet, when they went, the young man also told them this, and this is interesting. Go to his disciples and Peter and tell them that Jesus is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. There you will see him. You see, when Jesus rose from the grave, he doesn't just sit around waiting for them to find out. He went to work. For his story continues. The mission must go on. And he went before them, even as he goes before us today. He goes before us. And what is he doing? He is gathering his church. He is gathering people like you and me, just as he gathered the women and the disciples. Remember in Mark chapter 3, where Jesus is continuing to gather his disciples. In Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 15, it says this, "And Jesus went up on the mountain." You know, mountains are special places in the Bible, places of revelation, where God shows up. He does amazing things. The amazing thing that Jesus did was this. On the mountain, he called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 to be with him, and to be sent out to preach, and to have authority to cast out demons. You see, Jesus is gathering his disciples. Here the 12 and others, now the disciples of the women after his resurrection, today you and me. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, he is sending us out to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. He is not just a dead moral example. Do you remember that man a few years ago? What would Jesus do? Do you remember that man? Let me tell you, that's a heresy. Does it assume that Jesus is just a good teacher? He's far more. He is the risen, living, reigning Lord of heaven and earth. And the question is not what would he do, it is what is he doing right now in this creation. And he is this gathering his people with him to experience his love, his grace, and his mercy. And then he is sending us out to share that love. Today we give thanks that Jesus Christ, with the power of his Holy Spirit, is gathering his people together. Today we bear witness to that as we welcome into membership Robin and Scott Blair. And as we celebrate with them, their children, the sacrament of God's self-giving love, as in the waters of baptism, God claims these precious twins, Ashley and Ethan, as God's beloved children. You see, Jesus is gathering us to himself to be with him. And as he blesses us, he empowers us and sends us out to share the good news is love. For you see, the Savior that died for us sends us out today into a hurting world to be good news in the midst of the world designed for Savior. That is our place in the story. Let us pray together. Gracious God, thank you for Jesus Christ and for the power of your love that led him to take on flesh to dwell with us, to teach us about your love, to heal our sickness and our disease, to restore sight to the blind, to cause the lame to walk, to set us free from the bondage of evil, to forgive our sins, and to provide for our needs. We thank you that on the cross Jesus broke the power of sin, and that death no longer has a claim over any of us. We thank you for the freedom of the cross, and for the fact that Jesus is risen today and is gathering his people to him to bless us with the gift of life, so that we might follow him in the world that today is dying for a Savior.